There is a high probability that most of us here this morning, at one time or another, we have been hurt by someone we love or loved and trusted. When there is a deep betrayal in a relationship, two things happen. At that moment, we have a choice to wallow in self-pity, get consumed by anger, and more than anything else, we probably desire revenge and to retaliate by inflicting even more pain to the person that hurt us. Or we can choose to forgive and extend grace. Not long ago, in 2014, in some part of the United States, many of us witnessed a situation which was filled with anger and hatred. And after the deaths of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, and Eric Garner in New York City, a new movement that was fueled by rage for racial justice and equality emerged. And it was during this time the slogan, Black Lives Matter, dominated our social media and television networks across the country. The tension was so heavy that you could feel the weight of the hurt and the unforgiveness looming around like the breeze of frigid cold winter air in Chicago. Anger, hate, and unforgiveness seemed to consume the hurts of many. While some may say that the movement was deserved, others thought that the slogan, Black Lives Matter, was biased. And the argument was that all lives matter, which is true. The question for us this morning is this. Have you ever been deeply hurt by someone or taken advantage of by someone close to you? Did you forgive the person, or are you still feeling justified in your response? He deserved it. She had it coming, you know. He betrayed me, and therefore I had to fill in the blank. Maybe you're here this morning and somebody has betrayed you. Maybe you are here this morning or watching online and you feel hurt, and your response towards that person leans towards retaliation because you feel like you have the right to do so. You feel like a tooth for a tooth and an eye for an eye is the only way to neutralize or to balance the hurt you feel. This morning, in light of your anger, I want us to consider, I want to persuade you to consider the following story of forgiveness portrayed by families of the victims killed by Dylan Roof in Charleston, South Carolina in the year 2015. This is what the relatives of the 9 African Americans killed in Charleston incident publicly said to Dylan Roof, who was the shooter. I forgive you. I forgive you. Despite this incredible act of forgiveness, a journalist by the name of Stacy Payton of the Washington Post responded with an article titled, Black America Should Stop Forgiving White Racists. She added more fuel to the fire. Payton's post made the situation worse. But listen to the following testimony of one of the relatives who lost her mother as she tells her story. My mother loved perfumes. For special occasions like church, she spritzed my sisters and me on the wrists and behind the ears. She ended up hiding our expensive bottles from us. because we would sneak and spray ourselves so often. The week my mother died, I told her I was sending her a Banana Republic perfume she loved. "Oh, girl, I can't wait to smell good," she said. She died the next day. Ethel Lance, my mother, was killed on Wednesday, June 17th of 2015, along with my cousins, Susie Jackson and Tawanza Sanders, and six other people at Charleston Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church. It appears to have been a racially motivated massacre plotted by a 21-year-old. See, the perfume was delivered on Thursday. She never got to use it. A mere 48 hours after the church shooting, millions of Americans watched my sister, Nadine Collier, stand in front of our mother's accuser's killer and forgive him at his bond hearing. The media ran with a forgiveness narrative, praising the ability of the victims' families for their graciousness and faith. Now, here's a question for us this morning. What would cause someone to forgive after such an incident? What kind of character would such a person possess? What can we learn from Philemon and Onesimus about the nature of forgiveness and the attitude that the forgiving person needs to possess? 3 weeks ago, we started our series on the book of Philemon, and we briefly looked at the story of the Apostle Paul and his instructions to Philemon, urging him to forgive and accept Onesimus back. The assumption we have to make here is that Onesimus had run away to Rome in search of freedom and needed to avoid being caught after stealing from his master, Philemon. The act of Onesimus caused Philemon a depreciation of some sort, and therefore a reckoning and reconciliation needed to happen. And in verses 18 and 19 of this book of Philemon, we see the Apostle Paul making an appeal to Philemon for Onesimus. He writes, "If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that on my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it." See, the language of owing here and charging accounts and repayment doesn't seem to suggest that Onesimus has done something to cost Philemon financially. And therefore, the act costing Philemon money is the wrong that needs to be forgiven. And not the running away per se, even though the act of running away in itself had implications according to Roman law. And therefore, in this letter, Paul instructs Philemon to forgive Onesimus and to reconcile with him and to accept him as a brother in Christ. We can learn, therefore, from this text on Philemon on the nature and the characteristics of the one who is forgiving. Let's look at verses 4 through 7, but let's begin from verse 1 so we can get a drift on what the Apostle Paul is talking about here. This is what the text says. "Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, also to Aphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets at your house. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers because I hear about your love for his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is as none other than Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, that I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I'm in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, as that any favor you do would not seem forced but would be voluntary. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a while was that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but even dearer to you, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back. Not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will even do more than I ask. And one thing more. Prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ, sends you greetings. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you and your spirit. Once again, who is Philemon? We see that in this text, Philemon was a wealthy and a godly Christian who had come to know Christ through the ministry of Paul at Colossae, and Philemon owned a servant by the name of Onesimus. And in the process of living together, a conflict arose between Onesimus and Philemon. And as a result, Onesimus frees away from Philemon to Rome. Onesimus wronged Philemon, and then the strike two came when he ran away. While in Rome, Onesimus begins to search for Apostle Paul, who was under house arrest waiting for his trial. And the reason as to why Onesimus sought Paul can only be a speculation at this point. But perhaps Onesimus wanted to negotiate his way back to his master because of the consequences of running away from his master for any slave were very high. But we do know this. In the process, Paul ended up sharing the gospel with Onesimus, and Onesimus becomes a brother. He becomes a Christian. In fact, rumor has it that Onesimus later became the bishop of the city of Ephesus. And according to this text, after Philemon's conversion, Onesimus served Paul very well, and Paul was tempted to keep Onesimus. But Paul knew that the right thing to do was to return Onesimus to his master, to Philemon. The text reads, I am sending him who is my very heart back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so he could take your place in helping me while I was a, or I am in chains for the gospel. See, Roman law requires that all slaves that ran away from their masters, once caught and identified, they needed to be returned to their masters, and the punishment was severe. It included even death. So the sad news is that this letter, or this later in the 1700 and the 1800, some among the Christian community used this letter of Paul to justify the transatlantic slavery, pointing out that Apostle Paul did not object to slavery. But you got to remember that by the time Paul is writing this letter, he is not motivated by Roman law per se, but by the law of love, and his mission is to reconcile these two, reconcile the broken relationship between these two brothers. So in verses 8 and 9, Paul says, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty, yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love. From this verse, we can see that Paul thinks Philemon has a duty to welcome Onesimus back gently, even though Paul could demand Philemon to fulfill the duty. He would rather have Philemon do it voluntarily and out of love. And therefore, Paul sends this personal letter to Philemon, asking Philemon to do the right thing, which is to forgive Onesimus and to be reconciled with him. See, Paul doesn't directly command Philemon to free his runaway slave. Instead, he appeals to Philemon as a brother in Christ, urging him to receive Onesimus back. Not as a slave, but as a beloved brother, demonstrating the transformative power of the gospel in this relationship. So Philemon says, I know this man has done you wrong, for Paul writes, and he deserves to be punished, but consider him as my own heart and be merciful to him. Don't punish him as he deserves, but receive him as a brother in Christ. Someone has said that anger begets more anger, but forgiveness and love lead to more forgiveness and more love. To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was you. You see, refusing to forgive somebody causes a great pain, a great deal of pain. And it is also inconsistent with the teachings of Scripture. Why would Paul think that it was Onesimus's, or rather Philemon's, duty to forgive Onesimus? The most obvious reason derives from the teachings of Christ to forgive those who we perceive to have wronged us. And we see this appearing in multiple verses in the Scripture, especially in the Gospels. Forgiving others is a constant theme throughout the Scripture. We have been forgiven anyway. What is forgiveness? What comes to mind when we think of forgiveness? Somebody has defined forgiveness in the following terms, if I may indulge you here. To forgive is to write in large letters across a debt, nothing owed. Well, you get that stamp after you pay your car loan. Debt paid in full. To forgive is to pound the gavel in a courtroom and declare not guilty. To forgive is to turn the key, open the door, and let the prisoner walk free. To forgive is to bundle up all the garbage and trash and dispose of it, leaving the house clean and empty. To forgive is to relax our stranglehold on a wrestling opponent. To forgive is to sandblast our wall of graffiti, leaving it looking like new. To forgive is to smash a clay pot into 1,000 pieces so it can never be pieced together again. These are the images that come to us when we think of forgiveness. They remind us of what true forgiveness is like. And so to answer our question, what does the character of a person who forgives look like? First, based on this passage, I would say that one, the one who forgives must believe in Jesus. After his introduction, Paul said to Philemon in verse 4, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers. After this, his conversion, Philemon demonstrated a godly character and his life displayed true transformation. There was no need for Paul to say anything to Philemon by the way of correction, because Philemon demonstrated that he was a new creation in Christ, and therefore he was able to thank God always when he prayed for Philemon. He writes, because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. Another translation says, because I hear of the faith that you have towards the Lord Jesus. And so as a Christian, Philemon was united by Christ by faith. And it was because of his union with Christ that he's able to forgive. We explored this concept a few weeks ago as we concluded Romans chapter 16 with the doxology. Our faith should lead us to obedience in Christ. Therefore, we are to forgive as God has forgiven us. Paul described non-Christians in Romans chapter 3 verses 10 like this. Those who do not have Christ, their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, and their paths are ruin and misery, but not so the Christian. Second, we see that the one who forgives loves his brother and sisters in Christ. Paul said in verses 5 that because I hear of your love for all the saints, Philemon was united to Christ by faith, and therefore he was able to demonstrate this genuine love for others. And because he loved others in Christ, Philemon was able to forgive Onesimus. In fact, love is a fruit of the Spirit, and it is a demonstration of our union with Christ. And the third reason or characteristics of the one who forgives is that the one who forgives fellowships with Christians. Paul said in verse 6 that I pray that your partnership with us in faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. I believe that Paul was praying that Philemon's fellowship with others might be effective. In other words, their union or his union with Christ would also mean union with others, fellowship with others in Christ. And Paul therefore wanted Philemon to know that forgiving Onesimus would enhance the fellowship of other Christians and maintain the peace and unity in this Colossian church. Forgiving one another is just one way in which our bond of fellowship with each other is visibly demonstrated to a watching world. And the fourth reason, the one who forgives glorifies God. When we forgive one another, we glorify God. Paul said at the end of verse 6 that everything is for the sake of Christ. Literally, the Greek text says this, everything is unto Christ. Paul said that at the end of verse 6, everything is unto Christ. Everything that Paul did, including forgiving Onesimus, was done for the sake of Christ. Because of Philemon was a godly Christian, he wanted to do everything, including forgiving Onesimus, so that God may be glorified. The first question in the Westminster Short Catechism is this. What is the chief end of man? And the answer is, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. It is therefore inconceivable that someone who wants to glorify God would not forgive another person. Indeed, we glorify God when we forgive one another. And finally, the one who forgives refreshes the whole community of Christians. Paul says in verses 29, your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brothers, have refreshed the heart of the Lord's people. Another translation reads, for I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. This paints such a beautiful picture of Philemon. No wonder this letter is included in the scriptures. And it is the model for us Christians as we relate with one another. Yes, we'll step on each other's toes now and then, but our relationship must be grounded on the basis of forgiveness. Because of Philemon's love, the heart of Paul and the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through him. Is that what we hear at Trinity Vineyard all about? Is that what we're all about? Forgiving one another? We are a place of refuge. And can those who come through our doors say that this is a house of bread, both spiritually and physically? You know, when a person is engaged in conflict with one another, it can sometimes feel like war. However, when one encounters forgiveness, a forgiving Christian, it's like resting after a weary battle. The one who forgives believes in Jesus. The one who forgives loves Christians. The one who forgives fellowships with Christians. The one who forgives glorifies God. And finally, the one who forgives refreshes Christians. As we conclude, we forgive because we have first been forgiven. We forgive just as God has forgiven us. The Bible clearly teaches that God is a forgiving God. Exodus chapter 34 through 6 and 7. God is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin. Who are you holding a grudge against? Who do you need to forgive today? Who have you not forgiven? Maybe you feel justified. Maybe you do not know how to begin the process. Maybe you don't even want to appear weak by being the first one to forgive. You know what family is like sometimes. Again, stepping on each other's toes quite often. The temptation is to hold a grudge and fail to forgive, playing hard to get. I have a buddy of mine who swindled me $25,000. It was very hard for me to forgive. Plus, he didn't even want to acknowledge that he took the money. Maybe this morning you feel like someone has cheated you or has been dishonest with you. It was hard for me to forgive. But I knew in order for me to grow, I had to forgive the guy. And out of that forgiveness came so much freedom. I felt like I was 1,000 kilos of pounds. And after I forgave the person, I was walking like I'm 5 pounds. Because a burden, I let it go. Maybe this morning you feel like somebody has been dishonest with you, cheating on you and failing to acknowledge their fault. Pain and anger and frustration is deep inside. The scripture, based on Philemon's story, is we have to forgive. Yes, they have cost you financial gain. Yes, they have cost you a lot. But consider where you've come from. Consider how God has made this step to come and forgive you of all your sins so that he sees you, your slate is clean. You've been forgiven. We are asked to extend the same forgiveness. Someone maybe keeps on breaking your promise or their promise that they'll do better next time, but they fail. They go right back at the bottom. They sink in the same hole. What will you do? Forgiveness. May God help us, we who profess faith in Christ, to demonstrate to a watching world out there what forgiveness looks like. May God help us and give us the power to forgive and to love one another. As a community of saints that believe in Jesus, that's our identity. We are to love and fellowship with other Christians and glorify God while refreshing others. Let us remember to forgive just like we have been forgiven. This morning, what's the Lord saying to you in light of this message? Again, as we live with family, we press on each other's toes and we just don't seem to see eye to eye sometimes, and it is easy to hold a grudge. And that causes us to go down in our faith. That separates us with our relationship with Christ. I need to forgive others like I've been forgiven. I need to forgive those who are close to me because it's easy to hurt them. What is the Lord asking you to do in light of this message? Could you all stand up as we pray together, if you can, that is. I sense there's somebody here who is holding a grudge because they felt cheated. Maybe cheated by your employer. They just didn't do what was right, according to you. And that has been chewing you. And when you're holding that grudge, God can't bless a heart that is not connected with him, that is hurting, a heart that is not yet asking for forgiveness. And the Lord is saying the first thing to your spiritual steps going forward is to say, I let go. God, handle that for me and free me so I can be closer to you. If that is you this morning, would you come forward and receive prayers? I feel there's somebody who is holding something that deep. Maybe it's even a husband and wife situation, whereby there's pain. There's maybe some cheating of some kind or some dishonesty of some kind. Lord says, clean that up so you can grow together as a couple. God says, cast all those burdens unto him because he cares. Lord, this morning, would you come and pour your spirit upon us so we can be one, we can be united, and so that, Lord, we can experience you in a brand new way. Thank you for this story of Onesimus. Philemon was able to forgive him, even though he had taken from him. And he welcomed him back as a brother. Lord, we are yours. We want to be right with you. Come, Holy Spirit, and control changing, control our lives. Let us be changed inwardly so we can be closer to you. We can be like you. So from our youngest to our oldest, we ask, Lord, come. In In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. There is lovely food downstairs.